Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
For Jonah chapter number 1, and I want to talk to you a little bit tonight here out of the book of Jonah. I'm going to try to get done tonight. I may not. If I don't, we'll continue it next Wednesday night. We may continue it Sunday morning. We'll just see what the Lord has. Jonah chapter number 1, if you found your place, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. I want to read one verse to you, then I'm going to pray and let you be seated, and I'll give you a little thought here tonight. The Bible said this in verse number 6 of Jonah chapter number 1. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not." Now, Lord, I love you tonight. I pray over the next few minutes, God, that you'd help us, Lord, that you'd use us and touch us, meet the need of the service, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help all of those in Kingdom Kids tonight. I pray, God, that you'd give them a good time. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. I failed to make mention of this. Let me just say it real quickly. On Sunday morning, probably about 15 minutes or 20 minutes after 10, don't be alarmed with Miss Cassie sticking her head in the door of your Sunday school class. She's going to start every Sunday morning getting me a count of our Sunday school classes, okay? So we can start keeping up with that. And if there's a class that's going down and we need to help them visit or do something in that class, we can have a record of that and we can watch that throughout the year. This year they're doing that also with the Kingdom Kids starting tonight. So I just wanted to let you know about that. Here in the book of Jonah, what a great book it is, amen. And matter of fact, if you ever get the chance to go to Sights and Sounds Theater in Pennsylvania, or there's one also, where's that other one at, Miss Matt? Brazelton's where it's at. If you ever get a chance to go see the show Jonah at Sights and Sound, it's well worth your time to go see that, man. It is amazing. But Jonah is a very interesting little book of the Bible, just 4 short chapters here. And there's a lot that goes on in these 4 short chapters. Know what he said in verse number 1 of chapter number 1. "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish." Whenever we look at this, we find that God commissions Jonah to do a work for him, but Jonah decides to go his own way. In verse number 3, Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Jonah had to make a choice himself. And you've heard me say this many times. Each and every one of us has to make a choice on what we're going to do with God's will with our life. God will not make us live for him. However, God will make us wish we had of live for him. Amen. He's not going to make us serve him. He's not going to make us make the right choices. And here in Jonah's life, he has a decision that he's got to make. What's he going to do? And Jonah ends up making the wrong decision. We all know this. And Jonah flees. His rebellion not only affected himself spiritually, emotionally, and even physically, but it also affected those around him. We know that the decisions that we make does affect those around us. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Matter of fact, Dad preached on it one time. The devil will always have a boat waiting on you if you want to leave the presence of God. If you want to go away from God's will in your life, the devil will always have a boat waiting on you, but it will always cost you something because he paid the fare thereof and left the presence of God. Now, you know the story in verse number 4 and verse number 5. There's a great wind comes up and a great storm arises there on the ship that day. But Jonah finds himself asleep in the bottom part of this ship. And the shipmaster comes to him, and here's what he says, "What meanest thou, O sleeper?" What meanest thou, O sleeper? In other words, what in the world are you doing? You're asleep, and we're about to die. What are you doing? I want to talk to you about that thought for just a few minutes tonight. What meanest thou, O sleeper? Think about this by way of introduction with me. Jonah avoiding his summons. After avoiding his summons, Jonah immediately decides to avoid the Lord's summons by taking off to Joppa. Jonah was soon to learn that you cannot run and hide from the Lord. You may run from God, but you're not going to hide from God. Man, we find that out just right in the beginning of the Bible. In Genesis chapter number 3, Adam and Eve attempts to run and hide from God, but the Lord knows exactly where they're at. He would also learn that no one can try to deliberately avoid the Lord's summons without running straight into the chastening hand of God in their life. He did try to avoid God's summons, but boy, the chastening hand of God fell. There's Jonah avoiding his summons, but then there's Jonah asleep in the storm. Jonah goes to sleep in the midst of the storm. Jonah boards a ship headed to Joppa. Soon there is a great storm. And while everyone else is fighting for their survival, while everyone else is fighting to stay alive, backslidden Jonah is seen asleep in the midst of the storm, indifferent to every danger that is taking place around him. He would soon be in the belly of a great fish and crying out for the Lord to help him. But right now, Jonah is completely unaware to everything that's going on around him. Why? Because he's asleep. Because he's asleep. You know what? If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves going to sleep and being unaware of really what's going on around us. You know, whenever you go to sleep, you pretty much lose consciousness of life, just about it. Matter of fact, some's worse than others. Somebody say amen right there. Some, it takes an earthquake to ever wake them up. Some of these young people, man, you take them to camp or take them other places, and you just practically have to roll them out of the bed and jump on them to wake them up. What happens when we go to sleep? We're unaware of what's going on around us. Jonah had people around him literally fighting for their life, but he is unaware of it. When we go to sleep spiritually, can I make an application tonight if you've not figured that out yet? When we go to sleep spiritually tonight, church, we will become unaware of people fighting for their life all around us. Why? Because we are asleep. We have become comfortable. We have become complacent. We have become to a place where we're really just content with where we're at, and we don't realize the condition of those all around us. Jonah avoiding his summons. Jonah asleep in the storm. But then Jonah about to sink. The church needs an awakening tonight. If there's ever been a time that our church needs revival, I believe it needs it today. If there's ever been a time that the churches in our county needs revival, it's today. Not many churches are thriving. They're simply trying to stay alive today. You look around today. Matter of fact, me and another preacher was just talking about this. Probably the average attendance. Matter of fact, the average attendance of a Baptist church in the U.S. today is 80 or less. That's the average attendance of Baptist churches today in the United States of America. You know what? I dare say the average attendance of a Baptist church within 100 miles of here is probably 30 to 40. Let me tell you what's happening. They're declining today. They're not climbing in numbers. They're not reaching their community. They're dying today. If there's ever been a time that we need to realize the church within itself is about to sink. It's in the day and age in which we live. Now, I understand that the church is going up in the rapture. I understand the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But it's high time that the church awake out of their sleep and realize that their soul's going to hell. There's people fighting for their life all around us today, and we're about to sink. We're about to sink. I thought about this. The 20th century ended without seeing a spiritual awakening. The first century, in what I can study, the first century in our history that did not experience a nationwide revival. Our nation today is in the midst of a life-threatening storm which can only be avoided if the church awakes tonight and has a real heaven-sent revival. We must have a revival that will turn us from our own wickedness and once again bring the Lord's church back into His favor. A revival that will cause us to rise and once again become faithful to the Lord and to His summons to us to go and to preach the gospel, warning the wicked of the coming judgment and the Lord's command for them to repent and receive Jesus Christ. Satan is just as satisfied to see a Christian or a church go to sleep as he is to see them go astray. Matter of fact, I'm reminded of what the Bible said in Revelation chapter number 3 and verse 13 or verse 14 through 16. He talks about us not being cold and not being hot. He said, I'd rather for you to be cold or rather for you to be hot, but we have become lukewarm. And he says, I want to spew you out of my mouth. You see, what that means is this. We're not plumb cold because we'll sit on a church pew. But we're sure not hot either because we're not going to do anything to bring anybody else to the house of God. Are you with me? We've become lukewarm in so many instances. The majority of the people who are members at most local churches have either abandoned their post or they have fallen asleep while sitting on our post. Our nation is plagued with an epidemic of sleeping saints in sinking ships. Sleeping saints in sinking ships. So many churches today, thank God, I don't think we're one of them, but so many churches today are falling off one by one. Their numbers are dropping one by one by one. But there's a few there, and I don't mean this ugly, but they're usually old and set in their ways, and they could care less if the church does anything else, if it grows or if anybody else comes into it, and they're sleeping saints in sinking ships. What meanest thou, O sleeper? What meanest thou, O sleeper? You know what? If we're not careful, we'll go to sleep sitting right here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. We'll go to sleep. Can I say something to you? If I'm not careful, I'll go to sleep standing right here preaching at Amazing Grace Baptist Church. The Lord, I am so thankful for this, man. Starting out this new year, there's especially when I roll into February, man, there's numerous meetings that I'll be in, and I'll get to preaching, and boy, I'm thankful for that. I praise the Lord for that. But let me tell you what I've got to have. I've got to have preaching myself. I've got to have preaching. Let me tell you the reason why. I'll go to sleep standing in the pulpit and lead us as a sinking ship with sleeping saints in it. We need to be awakened. What meanest thou, O sleeper? What are we doing asleep? Why are you asleep? You ever thought about that? The other day, I have to be careful how I say all this, but the other day, I was with the sheriff's office out on a special detail. I was one of the officers on a special detail, and it was a pretty big deal. It was a real big deal what was going on. And there was several areas that officers was placed at. And we come by one of them going into a secure location that we was going into. And when we went by one of them, I glanced over and I told the guys with us, I said, bump the siren, he's asleep. He said, do what? And I said, bump the siren or blow the horn. He's asleep. You know what? It was cold. Man, it was cold as for daylight that morning. It was cold, and here's what had happened. He got in there. He had turned his heat. I don't blame him. He had turned his heat on. He had got real comfortable in his environment. and he had went to sleep on his post. If we're not careful, church, here's what we'll do. We'll come into a beautiful building. Are you hearing me? We'll have some choir singing. And can I say this? I'll put our choir up against any choir in the country right now. I'm telling you, our choir's singing better than it's ever sung. They've got a touch of God on them right now. I'm telling you, God's using our choir. We've got our special singing is it's off the charts right now. Man, it's group after group after group, piano player after piano player after piano player, instrument player after player after player. God has been good. We'll come in and we'll listen to great singing. We'll listen to Brother Matt lead the choir with a passion, and God used them. The preacher will get up and stumble around, but evidently you get a little bit because you come back, and we'll go to sleep. Brother Aaron will become comfortable in our environment, and we'll go to sleep. We'll become sleeping saints in sinking ships. What meanest thou, O sleeper? What are you doing asleep, man? People's fighting for their life. It seems the boat's about to go under. And here you are asleep. Number one, let me show you. I know I'm not going to get done tonight. Number one, the reasons for our being asleep. The reasons for our being asleep. Well, can I say this? When you think about the reasons for our being asleep, I would say this. Because of material wealth. You know what we are today, and you've heard me say it so many times, but I'll say it again. You know what we are today? We're a bunch of spoilt brats. I remember a time when we didn't take $20,000 in 2 months. And God let us take it in this past Sunday as a special offering to help with our building. The week before that, our regular offering was almost that the week before that. Christmas. What about that? Everybody's broke. God ain't evidently. And you know what? Here we sit. I've already said this. Immaculate facilities. I'm telling you, God's been good to us. Every preacher that walks through the door has said this. I believe it's the most beautiful building I've ever been in. Immaculate facilities. Man, God's blessed us. We've got technology. I mean, look at that. It's a 3D looking at the church tonight. We've got technology. We've got a great sound system. We've got great men that runs it. We've got great ladies that helps with it. And the technology that we had today, our fellowship hall is beautiful. We've got room in it. Man, we've got a beautiful office wing now. We've got a training room with extra Sunday school classes. God has been good. And if we're not careful because of material wealth, well, preacher, I'm wide awake, are you? Can I just ask you this? Can I just ask you this? If you're wide awake, if you're wide awake, you should be, are you with me? You should be numerous chapters into the book of Matthew because it's the third day of our 21-day challenge to read the first 5 books of the New Testament. 6 chapters a day and you'll get done with it early. Well, I don't have time to do that. How many tracts have we get out this week? Oh, but preacher, look at what we've got. Look at what we could have. You know, I sat here Sunday night on the platform and a week ago Sunday morning, and really this past Sunday morning, man, our church was full, and I know that there's probably 50 or 60 over there that's not over here tonight, and we've got a good crowd for a Wednesday night when you count all that. But if we're not careful, material wealth will cause us to dot off. Our material prosperity has become a soft pillow on which we have cradled our heads and went to sleep. We've become too comfortable to be vigilant. We have fallen prey to what the Lord warned Israel against. Listen to what he said in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And it shall be verse number 10 through 14 of Deuteronomy 6. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, watch this, which thou buildest not, in houses full of good things, which thou filledest not, and wells digged, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt eat and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from thy house of bondage, that thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, and shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. What did he say? He said, ye shall not go after other gods. Well, preacher, I would never go after another god. Hear me and hear me well. If things get in the place of being faithful to the house of God, you have other gods in your life. We have other gods. The reason for being asleep, well, I would say this, there's material wealth. Not only material wealth, but can I say this to you tonight? This is just some things that I've jotted down, compromising preachers. The reasons for being asleep. Why is the church asleep? Compromising preachers. Many preachers have fallen prey to the nonsense that to be successful, they must grow a mega church, and to do that, they need to shape their ministries and services around making people feel comfortable in their sin. There's so many preachers today that will not stand up for what's right because they're afraid this one may leave or that one may leave. Hear me and hear me well. If you leave because I'm preaching sound doctrine, then something's wrong. Compromising preachers, they'll not stand for nothing anymore. Isaiah 56 said this in verse number 10 and 11. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look their own way, every one of his for his gain from his court. You know what he's saying? He's saying this. They've just come to a place where they don't care as long as they're getting their bills paid. That's all that matters. I thought about this. If I go to the doctor and something's wrong, you know what I expect Dr. Minton to do? I expect him to tell me something's wrong. If I go to the doctor and there's something in my life, there's something in my body that's going to hinder me, I want him to tell me. Don't you beat around the bush. Don't you sugarcoat it. You tell me. Hear me and hear me well. When it comes to my spiritual condition, I want the man of God to take the word of God and expose what's wrong in my life. We have compromising preachers. The reason for people falling asleep today, life's filled with sin. Lives are just filled with sin. Sin tolerated in any amount for any time will dull its victims as it did Jonah. Something dies in a man when they deliberately choose to flee from the Lord's work and the Lord's word and the Lord's will. The lives of the average church members are riddled with unconfessed sin, which have produced a generation of unconscious saints or sleeping saints and sinking ships. Can I tell you something? If it was wrong 45 years ago, it's wrong today. If you had a conviction about it and it was a biblical conviction 45 years ago, you should have that conviction today. Are you hearing the preacher? Lives filled with sin. And here's the first thing that we do. Well, preacher, I'm not drinking. Preacher, I'm not smoking juju weed. Preacher, I'm not stealing. Preacher, I'm not breaking into nothing. Hear me and hear me well. What about bitterness? What about anger? What about holding a grudge? Anybody hearing the preacher? In all honesty, sin, sin today. Sin is sin today. There are some things when he's talking about sin, he says, is an abomination. In other words, he says, I hate them. Sodomy is one of those things. He says it's an abomination. But you know what else he says is an abomination? He that soweth discord among the brethren. Life's filled with sin. Oh, they'll just bump them gums about somebody else down at the house of God, and then they'll come in church and act like everything's okay. Everybody all right tonight? I know it's Wednesday night. But the truth's the truth. We're sleeping saints and sinking ships because lives are filled with sin. The reason tonight. I'll give you this one. Compassionate with the lost. There's no compassionate for the lost. People just don't care about the lost anymore. Preacher, I really do. How many meals have you missed for them? Well, a preacher asked me to fast from something for 21 days and pray for people to be saved. What's he thinking? About hell. That's what I'm thinking about. About hell. About some of your family dying and going down. Hey, hear me right here. Don't fall out with me, but I want you to hear me right here. Just because they say they're saved don't mean they're going to heaven. I'm going to tell you something. If you're reading through the book of Matthew, you just read this. We don't judge, but we inspect fruit. And when they're not bearing fruit, honey, and there's no chastening from God in their life, you better start praying for them to get saved. Amen? There's no compassion for the lost. What about this? What's causing? What's causing people to go to sleep? I'll give you this, and then I'll stop. Can I say this to you? Companionship with the lost. So many just yoke up with the lost today, and Brother Josh, they just do whatever they... Well, I've got to be with them. No. Well, they got to see I love them. Let me show you one of the ways that I teach my kids that I love them. When they're wrong, I tell them. When they're wrong, I tell them. And I'm going to tell you something today, church. We don't go sit with the drunkard just to win him to God. Are you hearing me today? We don't go sit with a drunkard just to win him to God. Hey, look up in here. I'm not going to go sit with a sodomite just to win him to God. I tell him I love him. But there has to come a time, church, where we cut strings. Me and Brother Aaron had a long conversation about this yesterday over some things. And I was asking, so Brother Aaron, let me pick your mind about some things then. And I'm going to say this. I know Brother Aaron's quiet into himself. And out of the, I'm going to tell you, Brother Aaron's pretty sharp. And I said, I want to pick your mind over some things. And you give me what you think about this. And I said, you don't even have to respond right now. And in a few hours, probably 5 or 6 hours went by, and he responded back, hear me and hear me well. We have to cut strings with the lost because I'm not a lost man. Companionship with the lost. The Bible said this in 1 Corinthians, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not. Some have not knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He said, I speak. Why is he speaking that to our shame? Here's the reason, and now this is Barkerology. Here's the reason I think he says that at the end. Because we are setting with them and not giving them the gospel, it's our shame that they continue in that path. We have to show them their wrongdoings. Nothing has such of an influence upon a person as does the company he keeps. You've heard me say it a million times. You are right now, or soon will be, who your friends are. How many in your mind right now, how many people have you seen that was in church, serving God, living for God, faithful to the house of God, start dating somebody that wasn't in church? And look around today, where are they at? Not in church. but I'm going to win them. Where are they at today? Very, very, very few times has that ever happened. You remember the story in, Miss Tina, you care to start playing softly. Remember the story in 2 Samuel chapter number 13? 2 Samuel chapter number 13, you've heard me preach on, but Amnon had a friend before, and you've heard me preach on Tamar's response to that temptation. And I'm probably going to go back and preach on that again here before long, some things I've been studying on Tamar's response to that. But Brother Granville brought something out that I had never saw in 2 Samuel chapter number 13 at the winter meeting. Here's what it was. Amnon's name means faithful. Amnon comes from a godly heritage. He's the firstborn of David. He comes from a godly heritage. I thought about this. Could you imagine the stories that Amnon heard growing up? Could you imagine sitting around the campfire as a boy and David being your daddy? Maybe they heard a lion roar in the background and David said, "Hey, son, let me tell you about something. There's a day I was keeping my father's sheep." Brother Josh, he began to tell that story. Then he began to tell the story about the bear. Then he began to tell the story about Goliath. But you see, in 2 Samuel chapter number 13, Amnon's got a Goliath in his life. And it wasn't necessarily Tamar. It was a lust for Tamar. That's what it was. Nowhere can we find that Tamar done anything wrong. It was a lust for his own sister Tamar. But he said in verse number 2, he thought it hard of himself to do anything to her. You know what I believe in my mind? I believe that Amnon had came to a place where within himself he couldn't do nothing to Tamar. He even says he thought it hard of himself. Verse number 3, the whole story changes when it says this. But Amnon had a friend. Jonadab comes in, sets the plot for him. The rest is history. Amnon rapes his own sister. Absalom ends up killing Amnon. So, preacher, what are you saying? He had the wrong communication. He yoked up with the wrong person. And I'm going to tell you, church, we have to be separated from this world. Preacher, I just don't think, what meanest thou, old sleeper? The reason. Preacher, I just don't think that we're in that bad shape around here. I'll give you this again on Sunday. But in 2023, we're in 2024 now. Ain't that right? Yeah. In 2023, little old Surrey County, not counting the city of Mount Airy, they probably had this many just in the city the way it's been going lately. 31 reported shootings in little old Surrey County in 2023. Brother Brian, Brother Aaron, you know this number is way off. It's just reported. Over 300 overdoses in our county. Over 300 that was reported. Now think about this. They hand out, if you like this, if you don't like this, I'm going to say, they hand out Narcan like Tic Tacs. You say, what's your thought on that? You probably don't want to know. They hand out Narcan like Tic Tacs. I was talking to two individuals today that helped me pull some numbers. And here's exactly what they said. Probably in our county, Brother Brian, you would know more about this than Brother Aaron. Probably in our county, we could safely say last year there was over 2,000 overdoses. Safely say. Because of this very reason. There's so many that overdoses today, and they have Narcan right beside of them, and nobody's ever called. Matter of fact, in our county now, they have Narcan parties. They have a designated Narcan person and everybody else gets high, and numerous of them overdoses, but they've got, instead of a designated driver, there's a designated Narcan person. It would blow your mind to know the swinger parties that is held every weekend in Surrey County. Blow your mind. You said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying, if we're not careful, we're going to become comfortable sitting right here in the confines of these four walls with a few visitors coming through and a few people getting saved, and we're going to become sleeping saints and sinking ships. May God wake us up. We got a great church. But if we think that it couldn't be better, something's wrong with us. Sleeping, the reasons for it. Father.